All right, so the Supreme Court came out with a bunch of different rulings yesterday.
Yes.
And one with even a Michigan connection.
That's right. More to come.
Yeah, more to come. Let's talk about a number of them with Richard Freeman, the Arlene and Alan F. Smith Professor of Law at the University of Michigan. Richard, it's good to have you back.
Thanks. Glad to be with you.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the high-profile cases. One of them, the Supreme Court ruled in a 6-3 decision that federal border agents have an easier path to deploy unlawful permanent residents like green card holders who are suspected of certain crimes. How significant is this change from like clear and convincing evidence to just belief that maybe there was a crime committed?
Yeah, I mean, it could be significant. They don't really elaborate what the standard is now at the border. Ultimately, the government is going to have to show that the green card holder did commit the crime. But what they're saying is that the border agent doesn't have to know that. So it's a little bit speculative just how much information they're going to have. Curious decision.
I want to ask you about this ExxonMobil situation. We're talking about a lawsuit over property seized by the Cuban government way back in 1960, over 65 years ago. Now ExxonMobil chasing more than $1 billion. How did a dispute from the Cold War era suddenly find its second wind in the 2020s?
Yeah, it's a curious story. The Congress in the 90s passed something called the Helms-Burton Act, which gave companies in a position like ExxonMobil the opportunity to sue, but it also gave the president the authority to suspend the ability if the president thought that was in the nation's interest.
Yeah.
And presidents kept suspending it until the first Trump administration. And he said, we're not getting anywhere with diplomacy. So let the lawsuits run.
Does this mean, does this ruling mean that the Supreme Court just kind of handed a massive permanent tool to corporate America to rewrite U.S.-Cuba relations? Regardless of what future presidents want.
Yeah. There's significant amounts of money at stake now. I mean, ExxonMobil has a problem. Even if it wins this suit, collecting is not going to be an easy matter. But it would give the ability, to go after Cuban assets in friendly countries. We give it the ability to go after assets, perhaps of companies that deal with Cuba in the United States. So, it could have a good deal of significance. Of course, that at least arguably was the purpose of Congress in passing this the statute. Now the three liberal justices said that it didn't really provide a an exemption from the ordinary foreign sovereign immunity standard, but the majority saw it differently.
Well, or does this open up an opportunity for companies to go after federal governments or to go after other foreign governments if there were property seized outside
of
just Cuba?
I think this is a Cuba-specific.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also want to ask about this Rastafarian man down in Louisiana. He sued a Louisiana prison after they forcibly cut his dreadlocks. He said it was a violation of his religious beliefs, but the court didn't agree.
Well, yeah, they said that he didn't have the right to sue the individual officers. I mean, he's caught in something of a bind. Some years ago, the Supreme Court said that state governments don't have any obligation to make accommodations from generally applicable laws for religious observances. So, the prisons have standards on hair length. And so as a matter of constitutional law, he didn't have a right to keep his dreadlocks. But Congress didn't like that Supreme Court decision on, not requiring accommodations. So they've passed a couple of statutes trying to limit the effect. And one of them said, if you're an institution that or a federal prison, prison, state prison receiving federal funds, then you have to agree to allow this kind of lawsuit. But the court some years ago said, well, sorry, you can't, that doesn't overcome the state's immunity from suits for damages in court. And okay, well, then he said, I'll go after the private individuals. And now the court said, sorry, doesn't work. The private individuals weren't the recipients of the funds. Mm-hmm. They treated it like a contract. It's like, okay, the states made a contract with the federal government saying if we receive funds, then we're subject to limits, although they'd kind of knock those out. But the individuals never did. So he's out of luck. It's quite remarkable.
I know Justice Jackson wrote that, you know, a pretty stinging dissent where she said that after this ruling, state prison officials now have little incentive to abide by federal law, even if it's handed to them on a piece of paper. So if a guard can literally throw a federal court order in the trash and find zero personal financial consequences, yeah. Has the Supreme Court effectively made religious liberty laws toothless inside of state prisons?
Well, I think what the majority would say is, look, he did not have a federal constitutional right to keep his dreadlocks because he was subject to a neutral law of general applicability. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't give federal guards the authority to violate constitutional rights. Now, it could be that the court in time is going to revisit that principle on laws of general applicability, but they haven't done so yet.
Mm. Interesting. We just have 30 seconds left here. This decision for a Michigan family in Isabella County looking to recover the full value of their home. It was seized, sold in a tax foreclosure. They sided with the family, too.
The court said, the immediate impact of this is that the sale seems to have been okay. We'll have to see what the lower court does, but the Pung family was saying, hey, you got to give us the fair market value of the property. And the court said, no, you get what you get out of the sale. It was less than half the property. Mm-hmm. It's tough luck. Maybe you should have gotten a loan or gotten somebody else to buy it or, refinance. Now he may, on remand, he may be able to show that the government should have seized personal property or seized less of it. But
yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Well, busy day on the court yesterday. Richard Friedman, we always appreciate your insight and help.
Kind of break it down
to
us.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. Coming up on the other side, we'll get a World Cup update. Jonathan Savage joins us. And the Europeans are absolutely loving the United States. We'll talk about it coming up on JR Morning.